So I lift my hands to the God that guides me, to the one that finds me. Even in my darkest days, he walks beside me singing songs of freedom, always singing songs of life. And they're leading me out of the darkness, and they're bringing me into the light. Hey, he never said it would be easy. No, he never said we would be safe.
Hey girl, hey. Welcome back to episode 3 of the Her Words, My Healing Podcast. I am your host, Andrea, and I want to welcome you back to the newest addition to your pre-existing safe spaces. Here we are, a family of women, shout out to the male listeners, ready to bear our truths, share our stories, heal from our pasts, and encourage those around us to embrace the same. We are a weekly podcast that is released every Saturday morning, ready to start the conversation on all the topics we can think of. But don't let the conversation stop here. Nah, girl. This podcast is designed so that you can feel encouraged to continue the conversation with those around you. So let's start the healing, y'all. If there is still light, then there is still love. There is still hope, just a flicker's enough. It only takes one. All right, y'all. So y'all pretty much know where we start off, and that is with a good old prayer. So come on, y'all. Lord God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your amazing favor, your amazing grace, your peace that is calming, your peace that is soothing, your peace that is comforting. God, I thank you that your voice speaks louder than the things that we go through the issues that we go through everything that the devil tries to throw at us. Your voice rings louder. And I thank you for the choice to choose. And I thank you for choosing you. God, I thank you for your angels that camp around us, God, and protect us and cover us from things we don't even know were there. God, and I thank you for the battles and the struggles that we know of. And I thank you for the lessons and the growth that come from these battles and these struggles. And I thank you that regardless of how bad it gets, I thank you that you've already gone before us and you've already seen our end goal. You've already seen our end result. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your love and your mercy. God, I pray that you guide this conversation. God, guide our feelings, our emotions, God, so that we get the truest picture of us, of the true us, represented in our words and in our actions. I pray that you just see fit that all of us come together, we just join together and band together as women and as men as well, just to come together and to share our truth and to be honest and transparent so that we can foster healing for ourselves and the next generation to come. Father, I love you, I thank you, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is still light, then there is still welcome back, y'all. So I just want to, because we're about to get into the In Other Words segment, and I just want to tell y'all, like, y'all, I want your feedback. I want your comments. I want your questions. I want to hear your stories. Like, y'all, and I posted earlier this week asking for people's stories, asking for people's comments. Y'all, I ain't get not one story. Y'all, I want to hear your stories. And listen, if you're afraid of someone exposing your name or someone exposing your situation, listen, you can write in anonymously. Like, you can tell me, hey, I don't want to expose myself. I don't want you to say my name or the names in the story. Cool. I can make up some names quick, fast, and in a hurry, y'all. So listen, I want to hear your stories. I want to hear your comments. I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear all of that because I want to be able to share some of my listeners' experiences in these segments. In other words, it's in other people's words, not just mine. In other people's words. So y'all, please share with me your stories. They can be something that happened today. They can be something that happened 10 years ago. If it has to do with communication, which everything does, then share it. I want to hear it. I know other people probably want to hear it, and it can be anonymous, you know? All right. So today's In Other Words segment, in light of the no response I got on social media, I remember, or I'm recalling a situation of communication, I guess, that happened to me years ago when I was a child. And to give a little bit of backstory, because, you know, I like backstory, me and my family, we used to live in what was formerly known as the country. I don't even consider it to be the country anymore because it has like no dirt roads at all whatsoever anymore. But we used to live in the country, and then we moved to, y'all, it's not even a city. It's really just a town. So yeah, we moved to a town we thought was the city. We moved to the town, and there we met our next door neighbors who became close friends of the family. Like they legit became family to us. Our next door neighbors had children, and their youngest child was the same age as me. Like, I think she's maybe a year older than me. I think she's a year older than me, a year or two. So we were basically into the same things. We always played together, hung out together. Like, it was just like, yes, my best friend is like literally 2 seconds from my house. Like, I could just walk to her house. So it was fun. However, and I don't know if other people did this or if other people had kids that did this, but me, and I'm going to say Sheila, I'm going to just call her Sheila. Me and Sheila, we love to watch like the girly movies that come on Disney Channel and then like reenact them. So when the Cheetah Girls came out, it was like, yes, like we reenacted that whole movie. We would memorize the songs, rehearse the moves, and we would put on like showcases for our families. I know, like looking back, I know my family was probably sick and tired of coming over to watch us do the exact same move as the movie we've been watching all day, every day for the whole entire summer. So we used to watch those movies and we used to reenact them. And so we would be like inside or outside rehearsing. And we would just be, it would be like a job, y'all. Like legit, it would be like a job. And we would always have like little arguments here and there. Like if I didn't want to sing a part, or if she didn't want to sing a part, or if she wanted to sing a part that I wanted to sing. It was just like little arguments, but y'all. One day, I don't even know what day this was. I don't know what was going on with us, but one day we got into this major, major argument. And y'all, it was over who was gonna sing lead, y'all. And we were reenacting the Cheetah Girls. So we were literally trying to figure out who was going to sing Raven Simone's part. Like, y'all, in that moment, because I can remember, y'all, it was like the biggest argument. Like, it was so important. It was so serious. It was like life or death type of situation. Like, y'all, we argued, and we just stopped talking to each other. Like, we legit stopped talking to each other. And I don't know if we stopped talking to each other for a couple of days or if it was over the weekend. Yeah, I can't remember, but I do remember our families. We went, I want to say it was either to a museum or to like an Air Force event, something. It was something outside with aviation. I know that. Yeah, we were still not talking to each other. And it was so bad that we literally stayed to our own families. Like, we didn't even intertwine families, I don't think. We might have. I don't know. But it was so bad. Like, I would stay to my mom. I would stay to my dad. Like, I wouldn't, you know, talk to her, look at her, this and the third. She wouldn't look at me or talk to me. Y'all, it got so bad that our parents had to literally sit us down so that we could become friends again. Like, so that we could squash the beef or bury the hatchet and be friends again. Like, it was, first of all, y'all, it was not that serious. It was not that serious. But to us, when we were younger, like, that was it. Like, we didn't get the lead part. That was it. And y'all, it was so sad. Like, when you guys were younger, or when you guys had children that were younger, did y'all kids do that? Or was me and Sheila the only two kids that was reenacting Cheetah Girls movie? Y'all, and to this day, like, me and my sister, I was braiding her hair one time, and we were watching Disney Plus and Cheetah Girls that came on. To this day, y'all, I still remember the dance moves that we came up with. I still remember the songs, everything, y'all. It made for a good childhood memory, but back then, that situation, it was like life or death to us, and it was so serious. We were like seriously mad at each other. Like, seriously mad at each other. So y'all, the moral of that story, y'all, is I guarantee you what you're going through now, you'll look back on it 10, 15, or even 5 years from now and be like, you know what? That was just a split second of my growing, of the process of my healing. And it wasn't as serious as I thought it was. Cause y'all, looking back on it, that was a funny moment. And it was literally a split second of my childhood. And it was just something that kids did, something that we did. We blew things out of proportion. And so I'm telling you, don't blow things out of proportion. Let them be what they are and don't feed them or fuel them to be bigger than what they are. Because you can literally be looking back on this and it's a split second of your life instead of the end of the world as you may think it is right now. All right? If there is still light, then there is still love. There is still hope, just a flicker's enough. It only takes one single flame to cut through the dark. All right, y'all. So today's topic, or the title of today's episode, is Yes, You Need Somebody. Come on, somebody. Yes, you need somebody, y'all. And I posed a question on the podcast's Facebook page, and I just asked, do you need somebody? Like, when you're going through something, do you turn to other people? Do you need other people to help you out? Or is it something that you just, you know, thug it out by yourself and you don't need nobody? You can do this on your own. Listen, I was there with you, and you see what the title of this episode is, right? Yeah, I came back full circle. Okay. So I wanted to pose the first question as, are you guarding your peace or shutting people out? And I ask that because a lot of times we can say, oh, I'm not bringing people into my situation because I'm guarding my peace. I'm holding on to my peace. I'm holding on to what is sacred to me. Don't nobody need to be in my business, this, that, and the third. But how much of that is you're guarding your peace versus you just shutting people out completely and you're just not talking to people? Because guarding your peace is good. And we need to have discernment about when we need to guard our peace by holding something in, and when we're sabotaging ourselves from getting help by shutting people out. So I propose that question, like, if you're the type of person that doesn't share or doesn't have someone to go to, and you're the type of person that says, you know, I'm guarding my peace or I don't need nobody, how much of that is you're guarding your peace, and how much of that is you're actually shutting people out because you're either scared to share things or you don't want to become vulnerable with someone? Like, really ask yourself, am I doing this to protect myself, or am I harming myself by cutting off what could potentially be a lifeline for me? My second question is, when you go through something, do you turn to other people after you turn to God? Like, I know for me, I go to God first and foremost. And I'm not by any means saying that God doesn't help me or doesn't aid in the situation that I'm going through. However, God didn't put all these people on this earth for us not to come together, for us not to help each other out. So my question is, after you go to God, who are those people that you go to? Who are those people that you can go to without a shadow of a doubt? They'll be there. You know that they have your best interests at heart. Because if you can't name one person that you go to, okay, it's time to start reaching out to people. It's time to start getting yourself out there or exposing yourself so that you can build that camp, build that village. Like the saying says, it takes a village to raise a child. Baby, it takes a village to raise an adult. Like, if we'll be completely honest, it takes a village to raise an adult. And sometimes it takes two or three villages, just because life throws so much at us. And sometimes it throws it all at us at one time. And we need God, as well as we need those around us, whether they're praying for us, whether they're counseling with us, whether they're just a shoulder to cry on or a listening ear. We need people, because God didn't put all these people on this earth for us to go through life and life struggles by ourselves. You know, I firmly believe that. So those are just my first two questions, just to get the conversation started. Like, are you guarding your peace, or are you really shutting people out? And then two, after you go to God, who are those people that you go to? And posing a part B to that question, are they actually helping you? Because a lot of times you can go to people and they're
advice to you is beneficial to them and not so much to you. So make sure that the people that you go to are really for you and are really there to help you and to kind of ease the burden, if you will, and to also tell you the truth too, because we need friends like that too. So just to give you guys a little bit of my backstory, because you know I always like to share my experiences with each topic that we talk about. So growing up, I was always an introvert to start off with, and I've said that in my previous episodes, and if you have not heard those episodes, please go check those out. They're episodes 1 and 2, okay? All right, so again, I was an introvert growing up. I think early on, my downfall was I allowed my introverted self to become my isolated self. And I say that because growing up, I was the youngest. So everything that I wanted to do wasn't always in line with what my cousins or my sister wanted to do. So a lot of times what I wanted to do, I would play by myself. I would do things by myself just because nobody else really wanted to do them. And I mean, I wanted to have fun, and this is what I considered to be fun. And I think slowly but surely that led me to cutting people off. And I started, I can recall, this is not a good thing by any means, y'all, but I'm just telling my story. I started with my sister. One, because my sister was older than me. She was into things that I wasn't. And so I allowed our differences and the things that we butted heads on to become reasons for me to not confide in her, to not hang out with her, to not view her so much as my sister. I viewed her as, oh, that's a person connected to me. We live in the same house, but that's not really my sister. Like, I guess I had a vision of what my sister would be, what growing up, how that would be. And so when she didn't necessarily fit the bill, I did not respond in the right way. The right way would have been, you know, to go to her and to, you know, talk to her, to talk to my parents. I mean, they were our parents. But instead, I responded in a way of cutting her off. And not saying I didn't talk to her at all. Like, no, me and my sister, you know, we still hung out. We still, you know, talked, but I didn't ever share deep things with her or things that I was going through or boys or things like that. Like, if I did share it with her, we had to have been like on a high note for a while or something like that. So yeah, I started kind of cutting people off at an early age, and I started to teach myself that I could be by myself. I didn't need anybody. I can live life by myself. I could deal with things that happened to me by myself. I could process things that happened in life by myself. And I didn't really need anybody, because the way I was processing it, I thought was good. I thought, oh yeah, I'm getting over this. You know, I'm healing from this. I'm letting this affect me anymore. All the while, I was basically teaching myself the wrong responses and the wrong ways to handle things. I wouldn't know that until years later, but that's where I was in the headspace that I was teaching myself right. I didn't really need anybody because I could correct myself. I could get myself back on the right path, things like that. And so I felt like, okay, I don't need anybody. I could just kind of shut people out and nobody would really know what was going on with Drea. The max, they would know what was going on with surface Drea. So for a long time, I didn't feel like human connection was important. Like, I didn't feel like connecting with anyone on a intimate level. And I say an intimate level meaning something more than just, oh, you know, I know her. You know, it's like a friendship, like my best friend knows me, or I know my best friend, that type of thing. I didn't think that that was necessary. Growing up, I had taught myself that it's not necessary to connect with people, or it's not necessary to connect with someone or to have that connection with someone, because you have yourself. You can correct yourself. You can live the life that you want to live, and that be that. I was a very headstrong child, and to some people, it looked like I had my stuff together. I was older than my age, or I was more mature than my age, which I was. However, I think I was maturing myself in the wrong ways, or I was going about it in the wrong way. So yeah, I did not believe in human connection being a vital part of life. I was always the person that people came to. Once I hit like college age, I would say, I was always the person that people would come to with situations. And I was happy about that. I still am happy when people come to me and they feel like they can confide in me. That it means a lot to me. But growing up, I valued being the person that they could come to more than I valued me having someone that I could come to. So yeah, I felt like if I was the person that people can come to and I could deal with people's situations and give them advice, then that put me in the image of, oh, she has her stuff together. She, you know, she handles her stuff and then I can come to her about my stuff and all is well. And that's not the case at all, y'all. That's not the case at all. I was just very good at almost faking the funk, really. Like, there would be times where I would be in college crying, going to bed crying, and getting up the next day and acting like nothing stinks. Just walking around like nothing stank, like I got it together. All the while, I wasn't realizing that the isolation that I was putting on myself was the reason why I felt so low, why I would cry all the time, or why I was up one moment and down the next. Like, I isolated myself from that human connection. And it is so vital. Like, it is so vital just to be sane sometimes, you know, like even in this pandemic, to have human connection. I feel like people see the importance of having human connection. That human connection can sometimes save you. Like, it can save you from yourself. It can save you from your thoughts. It can save you from your emotions, because it releases those endorphins that we need, that serotonin, that dopamine, that oxytocin, however you say that word, y'all. But we need those things. And so for me, I wasn't getting any of those things. Like, I would wake up by myself. I would go to class by myself. I may see a friend at lunch, but I would eat lunch by myself. I would come back to the room by myself. I would go to bed by myself. And that was like day in, day out for a lot of my upperclassmen years. So to anyone out there that is in college or by yourself a lot, and if you're by yourself a lot or you're in college and you don't really have friends and you feel low, yeah, I would seriously suggest maybe going to a party or going to the library, to a support group, or to somewhere that has people, trustworthy people, but people nonetheless. Because even being in someone else's presence and hearing their laugh, like, laughs are contagious. I'm sorry, but they are. Like, I will crack up just by hearing somebody's laugh and don't know what they're cracking up about. Like, let's be honest. So my thing is, we all need someone to make it through this life. And if you don't have someone and you feel like, oh, I can live life by myself and not deal with things, it's like, that may be fine right now. And it may be the season that you're in. You just need to be to yourself. But don't make that a lifelong decision. Like, listen to me, because I tried to make it a lifelong decision. Don't make that a lifelong decision, because you're not gonna make it. I'll be completely honest. Like, I know how people say, oh, you can make it through anything. Listen, you're not gonna make it, not without people. God created Adam, and then he soon realized he needed somebody else. So he then created Eve. So if Adam couldn't be here on his own, if the creator of the universe, if the creator of this world realized that his perfect creation needed somebody else, baby, you need somebody else too. Like, we just gonna be honest. And this is just a little bit of a confession. Growing up, as I became more and more isolated, I started to process things that were happening to me kind of as they came. And I realized now, looking back on it, where I am now, I realized I was voluntarily programming my mind to think and process and heal from situations the wrong way. Like, I firmly believe we need people around us to help us think, one, to think about things we did not think of, and two, to make sure that we're on the right path. Because looking back on it now, where I am now, I realize how many issues I created for myself now just by not speaking up back then. Because if I had spoken up back then, I could be in a different headspace now. Like, somebody could have told me, baby girl, you are processing that wrong. This is not what that means. You're thinking about this the wrong way. Think about it this way. Like, it could have saved me from a lot of the things that I'm going through now if I opened up and spoke about what I was going through, what I was dealing with, and how I was processing it. So somebody could have told me it was the wrong way to process it, okay? So people aren't there just to be sounding board. They're also there to help make sure we're on the right track and that we basically get all of the sides of a situation. Because when you're in it and when it's just you and your words, it's very easy to make that a bigger deal than what it is. Instead, have someone to come in and listen to what you're saying, listen to how you're thinking, so that you can make sure, hey, do I sound crazy right now, or am I actually, you know, thinking correctly? Because we all need that correction, and there's no better source to get it from, one, from God, but two, from the people that he created, you know? I want to propose the question, how many things have we gone through in life, processed them on our own, and then realized later that we healed the wrong way? I just want to throw that question out there, and I want to provide an example. I call this the tree example. Like, I thought about it, and so I just named it the tree example, you know, the tree effect, I guess. So we know a tree, it grows strong, depending on what kind of tree it is. We talking about one of those big old looking trees that's just stable and sturdy and they ain't going nowhere. Have you ever seen one of those trees, like an object, get stuck in one of their trunk? When an object gets stuck in one of those trees' trunks or those trees' branches, the tree doesn't projectile that object out of its trunk. It doesn't have that capacity. But what it does do is the tree starts growing around the object in a way that creates a weak spot in the tree's trunk. The object is there. It's still there. The tree grows over it. So it looks like, it just looks like the tree. That's the way the tree grew. It looks fine. But I guarantee you, if you take a hammer to that section of the branch or the trunk, that's the weakest part of the tree, because the tree did not heal properly when an object was stuck in it. It just healed over the object instead of healing the object out of its trunk. So that's why I asked the question, how many things have we gone through in life, processed them on our own, and then realized later that we healed the wrong way? Because we can heal the wrong way, and it will later come back to get us, because it's like, okay, I went through that before. Why am I going through that again? Like, I know I healed from that. I know I processed that. I know I'm over that. It's like, you may be over that now, but you healed from it the wrong way. You're like that tree. That object is still there. It's still stuck in you. You just healed over it. You masked over it instead of getting that object out and then healing that wound or healing that scar. So in a sense, the foundation that you now have, that you created, is weakened, because there's a spot that still has an object stuck in it, and it will never be as strong as the rest of you or the rest of your trunk, because that object is still stuck there. You may be beautiful looking on the outside. The tree may be covered and looking normal on the outside. However, that object is still stuck in it, and you won't have a full sturdy foundation if you have a bunch of objects still stuck in you and you just grown over them. Like, you haven't grown from this situation. You just grew over them. You just grew over it so that you can get on with the rest of your life. So I'm asking a lot of you to evaluate things that you've gone through. If a situation that you've gone through, that you healed from, keeps coming back up, evaluate how you healed from it the last time, because that may not be the way that God wants you to heal from it. That may not be the lesson that God wants you to get out of it. So in a sense, that object is still stuck in you. That's why you keep coming back around to it, because it's like, it's irritating you. It's still there. It's irritating because you're thinking, oh, I healed from it. I healed from it. And it's like, no, baby, you didn't heal from it. You healed over it. It's still there. You just healed over it. So now we have to take off that healing that you thought you did, deal with the object, and now truly heal from the wound that you have. We're not healing from the object. We're healing from the wound that the object left. So I propose the example, or the effect, of the tree. Let's make sure we're not the tree that has an object stuck in us that we've grown over and has now created a weak spot in our foundation. I'm going through something right now. I do not want to repeat this. I do not want this to come back around. So I'm constantly asking God, Lord, please help me to do this the right way. Please help me to deal with this and heal from this the right way. Because, baby, I do not want to keep dealing with this. I don't. I promise you, I don't. My prayer for my listeners, and my prayer for the ones that are hearing me right now, is that we pray the prayer to God, please Allow me to heal from this the right way. Allow me to use the resources, aka people, that you have put on this earth to help me heal the right way. I'm not meant to go through things alone. And yes, you are, God, you are the creator. You are everything that I need. But you also put other people on this earth because you knew I would need them too. Like that is my hope and my prayer for my listeners, that we realize we can't do this life alone. We can't sugarcoat things and think that, oh, I can get through this. I don't need nobody. You know, I'm solo dolo. Like, first of all, I never got into that solo dolo. I never got into that. But we're not meant to be on this earth to be solo dolo. We're not meant to be that. Adam wasn't meant to be that, and therefore Eve was created. We weren't meant to be that. If we were, God would not have given us parents. God would not have given us siblings. God would not have given us cousins. Like, if God wanted us to be on this earth by ourselves, don't you think he would have created just us? Just you? Just me? Yes, you need somebody. So right now, my current mindset, and I'll just share with you guys, my current mindset is to utilize all of the resources on earth and in the spirit that God has given us. I believe he would not have created my family, my friends, for me to go through life alone. So God has given me spiritual gifts. God has given me spiritual blessings, but he's also given me human blessings and human gifts. And I see those as people. And so I'm going to use my blessings. I'm going to use my gifts, and I'm going to try to use all that God has for me to use to get me through my trials, my tribulations, and my struggles. And I hope that you all will utilize the blessings that God has given you in the spirit and in human form to get you through and to help you through, because we truly need each other. You may not need as many as the next person, but you do need someone. You do need people. I ask and I pray that you take the time to, one, create a circle, create a village. And two, if you have a village, make sure those people in your village are the right people. Make sure they have your best interests at heart. It's okay to say, hey, our season has passed. We're not in the same headspace. It's okay to say that to people, because if they're truly your friends, if they're truly here for your benefit and for your well-being, they'll say, okay, you know what? I'll respect that. They may not say it in these words, but I respect that, because some friends are seasonal. Some friends are lifelong, and it's okay if people are seasonal, but we can't expect people that are seasonal to come with us through life. We can't do that. So I ask everyone just to evaluate your friends, evaluate your village. And if you don't have one, start getting one, and you will see a difference in the quality of life that you live, having people to share it with, you know? All right, y'all. That's all I got. If there is still light, then there is still love. There is still hope, just a flicker's enough. It only takes one single flame to cut through the dark. All right, y'all. So my insightful moment for today is coming from my devotional. Y'all, I feel like this was so God. Y'all know I'm still like in the very beginning of my devotional, even though it's like July, about to be August. I'm actually in February, y'all. In my previous episode, I said I was in January. No, correction, y'all. I'm in February. So, you know, I'm farther along than I thought. But I didn't share this in my last episode, but the devotional that I'm reading is entitled Salt and Light Devotional by Chris Ty Green. I'm gonna link it in the show notes or in the description, because I think I'm butchering his name. But it's a 365 day devotional. And again, I'm still in February, but I feel like it's all divine, because the excerpt that I'm about to read to y'all in the devotional day that I read this week just spoke to the title of this message. It really, really did. Everything I feel like I went through this week has really spoken to the title of this episode. And so I feel like it's all divine. And so, yeah, here it is. The title of this devotional was called Where the Spirit Fall. The scripture of the devotional was Psalms chapter 133, verse 1. And the excerpt that I'm going to read says this: never assume you will be able to fulfill your mission as a believer on your own. Your wisdom, power,
power and love are given by God in the context of fellowship.
As the unity of your fellowship increases, so do the wisdom, power, and love, and every other fruit that comes as the body exercises spiritual gifts together. When God enters into the bond of spiritual union with his people, we are empowered and lives and worlds are changed. When hearts are united in love, amazing things happen.
Yeah, that spoke to me so profoundly. Like, yes, we need people. We need people that are on one accord with us spiritually, and we need people that are on one accord with us in love. A lot of people don't love the same or don't love as wholeheartedly, and so we need people that are like-minded. Yes, we need people that think differently, but when it comes to touching and agreeing with each other, we need people that are like-minded, that want the same things as you for you, because you're going to want the same things for them in return. So I truly believe that this excerpt from the devotional was just truly divine this week. And again, this devotional is called Salt and Light Devotional by Chris Tigreen. Y'all, I know I'm butchering his last name, so I'm just going to put it in the description box below. But yes, I love this devotional. Granted, I'm only in February, but it seems like every day that I read it, it speaks to exactly what I'm going through that day. So I feel like it's all divine, y'all. You know? All right, that was my insightful moment. If there is still light, then there is still love. There is still hope, just a flicker's enough. It only takes one single flame to cut through the dark. All right, y'all. So I think that episode was a little bit shorter than my other episodes. Again, y'all, it has been a trying week this week. It's been a good week, but it's also been a trying week. So if my energy level seems to be a little off, or if this episode seems to be a little bit shorter, I'm just trying to listen to God's word and put this episode out, because as much as the enemy is telling me not to put it out, I feel like there's a purpose and there's a reason for me to put it out. So if the segment seemed a little short, or if my points seem to be a little bit quicker to the punch, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be obedient to God the best way I know how. So thank y'all for sticking with me thus far. Thank y'all for joining in on another conversation, a much needed conversation. Y'all, I know that even though this episode may have been shorter, the conversation still is as important. We need to make sure we have people. And that's one of the reasons I created the social media pages, and one of the reasons why I'm there every Saturday on Facebook waiting to hear comments, to hear feedback, or to continue the conversation. Because if someone doesn't have anyone in their immediate circle that they can talk to, you can come over to Facebook. I may be a complete stranger to you, but I promise you, I will sit and listen. I will give advice if you want me to. I will be whatever it is that you need me to be, so that you can feel comfortable creating your own fellowship in your own circle. And listen, you can invite me to be in that circle. I will do that, you know? So yeah, thank y'all for tuning in one more time. And I thank y'all just for the support and the love. Make sure that, you know, you get with your day ones, you get with your family, you get with your friends, and make sure that they know that they have someone that they can turn to, that you're their confidant, you're their village, and that you can help them. Because sometimes we just need people to tell us again, reassure us that we have people, because sometimes we forget that in the midst of what we're going through, that we have people that we can turn to. So reach out to, you know, your family, your day ones, and let them know that you're here for them. Let them know that they have somebody that's praying for them, that's got their back, you know? All right. So make sure that you join us on Facebook every Saturday morning. We're over there continuing the conversation. Thank you to my listener participation this week. Y'all, come on and participate. It's okay. Listen, I won't bite. I love feedback. I love commentary. I love to continue the conversation with y'all. So come on over, join me. I don't know if I need to make a comment or make a post and be like, hey, I'm here. And if I need to, I will do that. But come on over, leave a comment, leave a review, comment about the episode or whatever episode that you have watched thus far, because I'm over there. I'm over there. I'm waiting and I'm ready to talk to y'all. So yeah, make sure you come on over, join us on Facebook. We are Her Words, My Healing on Facebook. And on Instagram, we are Her_Words_My_Healing. Y'all, I didn't know it was going to do all those underscores when I was creating the name. So yeah, that's what we got. That's what we got right now. It'll probably be changing, but that's what we got right now. Okay.
So make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play, because we are on all three. Also, make sure to rate us, comment, leave a review, give us 5 stars, give us a thumbs up, y'all. Whatever it tells you to do, whatever it allows you to do, y'all, please do it. I appreciate it, and I need the feedback, y'all. All right, so before we head out, you know I have to say it. Y'all, shine your brightest today and every single day that follows. And remember to start speaking, always be down to listen, and advocate for your own healing. Love y'all.
There is hope in every situation, all this pain I'm facing. For every dream I'm chasing, there's hope. There is hope in every situation, all this pain I'm facing. Yeah, my way.